Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joined now by Stephen Johnson. He is the Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer for the Daily Memphian on Twitter at StephenMJohnson_. Stephen, who is the original Stephen M. Johnson? It would seem to me that by putting in your, you should be able to get Stephen M. Johnson. Is there another Stephen M. Johnson out there?
Well, when I looked, it was like a guy with like 30 followers or something like that. So he had his claim to it. So I had to respect it. So I had to throw in the underscore, unfortunately.
As someone who has an underscore in my own name, I hate the underscore. I hate having to have an underscore. And but that's what I guess that's what we get for being late. Being late to the game. All right, so you were there last night at the Brookhaven Pub for Penny Hardaway's first radio show of the year. And quite a scene when Penny Hardaway walked in. What was it like?
Oh, he came out to a standing ovation. He came through the kitchen or somewhere in the back. He kind of snuck in there, and he immediately got a standing ovation. And it was funny. Somebody at the bar, I'm guessing he wasn't from Memphis, He was surprised that so many people was there. He was like, didn't they just lose three games? And I just had to tell him, like, win or lose, they love their Tigers, especially Penny. So you couldn't really tell that it's been a tough stretch for the team. I would say it was almost festive. There were a number of round of applause for Josh
really?
Minot, Penny, and even Alo at one point.
Now, when you say even Alo, who was there in terms of players? Were either any players there, or were the applause just when he mentioned them?
It was just when he mentioned them. Okay. The only player, former player, Will Coleman was there. Some of the coaching staff was there, but it was really just Penny, just kind of Penny and his support staff there, and, of course, SID, Michael Schroeder, and things like that.
Now, by the way, are you getting any, like, sometimes when this happens and we write about what's happening, we can be cast as the evil media, particularly in that kind of an environment, you know, where all these people are supportive of Penny. Did you get any looks like you're the evil media, or are you getting that vibe from Penny at all? Like he did in The Athletic comment on the personal criticism that he feels like he is taking.
I didn't get that sense yesterday. For the most part, if anybody sees me out, you know, I got my Daily Memphian badge. It's normally positive whether I'm at work or whether it was last night. So I haven't felt that. I can't speak for some of the other guys around there, but I could say overall, I was a little surprised at the move. Most of the questions that, I mean, he took a couple questions from fans and social media. It wasn't as critical as I thought maybe it possibly could have been. So I would say overall, for the most part, I think, like I said, I've heard positive things, even though the Tigers haven't necessarily done a lot of positive things on the court lately.
All right. And in his remarks, I've tweeted out your piece from today. People can read it at the Daily Memphian. He didn't exactly walk back what he said after the Ole Miss loss, but I gather he was much less critical of the veterans. What were the tone of the remarks that he said last night?
I would say with almost, like you said, he didn't completely walk it back, but it was almost a completely different tone than what we had kind of heard after Georgia, after Ole Miss, where you've been doing this a lot longer than me. I don't know if I can recall a college coach that is be so pointed with his criticism at a group of players, whether he's telling the truth or not. So last night, he still said a couple things about how he wants the veterans to kind of put their arms around the younger guys, but for the most part, there was a lot more accountability. Like, you know, he said he has to take ownership of the chemistry problems. He has to do a better job of preparing them to practice. He said he didn't feel like the roster outside of the Memphis kids understood that the Ole Miss game was actually a robbery. He took kind of the lion's share of the blame for that. So compared to what we saw after Ole Miss, after Georgia, the piece in the Athletic, I would say his tone is it was noticeable how different it was, and I think he went out of his way to make sure that he took more accountability for the actions of the team, and the crowd there seemed to enjoy it.
In terms of the substance of what he said, after the game Saturday, he said, "I'm going to play." He said various things along the way, like I'm going to cut down on the rotation. I have to cut down on the rotation. I'm going to be a tough guy. I'm going to go back to the Lion offense. Whatever else. This time it was, I am going to play the players who care more. If I had simply played them all along, we would be undefeated. Instead, I played the players who statistically give us a better opportunity to win. And going forward, I'm going to play the players who care more. Was there any of that? Did you get any sense of what the rotation would look like going forward?
Not necessarily. The biggest thing, I think, from a rotation standpoint is he said he wants to go back to that full court press. So, and they haven't really been doing it these last 2.5 games. I think they got burned by Iowa State, and I think Penny got a little gunshot, and he admitted that he kind of lost his way. They didn't really trap until the end against Ole Miss, didn't do it against Georgia. You know, that's their signature. So based off that comment, I would be, as much as he said he wants to cut down on the rotation, I would still be a little bit surprised if they play less than 10 guys on Friday, knowing that they're probably going to go back to trapping and putting a lot on those guys' legs. The biggest thing I think will, rotation-wise, is that Josh Minot, who also had a standing ovation, he shouted out Josh Minot, and they cut him off to let him know how pleased they were that he finally got some more playing time, real playing time. So I think he's going to be a staple in the rotation. You could make the argument he should have been from the very jump. That's another thing he said on Saturday. He had cheated Josh out of his minutes to go with the veterans, which was, you know, it is what it is. But I still don't think Penny is at the point where he's going to cut the rotation to single digits, but I do think Josh Minot is going to be a staple in the rotation going forward. So I guess you can consider that a win for the prospect of Memphis going forward.
In terms of particular players, I gather he said nice things about Alex Lomax?
Yeah, somebody had asked him a question just about, I think more or less, that he regret not finding another point guard or something of that nature. And he was like, he didn't want to disrespect anybody on the team. He said Alex Lomax has been a great leader. He believes he's arguably maybe the best perimeter defender in the country. That also drew some praise from the crowd. So he heaped praise on the players. He wasn't as pointed at his criticism, especially with some of those older guys. So I would say he had a lot of nice things to say about Alex Lomax. He also said Alo was, what was it, the Corky's Player of the Week or something like that for his performance against Ole Miss and Georgia. So he had a lot of positive things to say about Alo.
And then interesting comments he made about Imani Bates. What did he say about Imani?
Well, he said Imani came up to him about 3 weeks ago or a month ago, if I remember correctly. Is that maybe before the start of the season? But he said Imani came up to him and thanked him for giving him the love of the game back, and that Imani at one point was considering quitting basketball because there was so much pressure on him. And you know, I talked to some people, and it wasn't necessarily just the pressure. Imani's dealt with some losses to people close to him over the last year or so. So when you combine that with the pressure, it's a lot on the shoulders of a 17-year-old kid. And I think just listen to how Penny talked about him on Saturday and even how he talked about him last night. I think Penny sees a lot of himself in Imani. I think he acknowledges, like, if he came up in this era, he probably wonders how he would be able to deal without the pressure, being a blue-chip prospect. I'm sure Penny was known around the city at around the same time Imani was known around the country. So he's been very protective of Imani. He said Imani's fighting a battle that most of us wouldn't understand, and he's probably right about that. So overall, he thinks the best is still to come for Imani. He's been very protective of him, and I have a piece coming out that goes a little bit more in depth on why it is and what more he can do to kind of help Imani break out this funk he's in. But it's kind of to continue the last couple of days he said about Imani. He said he's the hardest worker on the team. He's a mature kid, and he wants to do everything the right way. He's just trying to find his way amidst all the pressure from the fans, I guess his teammates, and some of this outside noise as well, too.
I think your point about Penny seeing himself in Imani is a good one. And someone pointed out to me, and I wasn't here when Penny played for Memphis, so I can't vouch for this. But someone said that when Penny first joined the team, there was some jealousy on the team and some of the same issues with who was going to be the man and that sort of stuff. I just got an email suggesting that someone who had been a fan during that period thought there was some of that had happened inside of that team. And so wouldn't surprise me at all if Penny saw something of himself in Imani, because it's striking how protective he is of Imani. Look forward to reading your piece on that later today, hopefully in the Daily Memphian. When you take a step back, what do you think is going on with this team? And why do you think, if you had to tell me in a paragraph, why you think they have lost three straight games, what would you say?
I would say it starts with Penny kind of losing his way. You could really kind of boil the Tiger season down to just asking the question, why? You know, why did you go away from the offense that worked for you at the end of last season? Even you're trying to showcase Imani and Jalen, you know, bump that. You know, if they win, if they perform well, that's going to showcase them. You got to ask why they went away from the signature full-court trap. They were down double digits to Ole Miss. Then they start trapping, and then they had a chance to win it at the end. And I just think overall chemistry, you know, we knew that was kind of the biggest question along with the point guard spot. Could Penny get all these guys to mesh, the veterans, the new guys, the guys that want to get to the NBA, the guys that are already getting NBA buzz? And I think right now, if he took accountability, that's been a failure on his part right now. Whether he has to be harder on the players or sit some guys down, he hasn't pushed the right buttons yet. So he has to find the answer. He said the worst is over on Instagram, but if you look at this next three-game stretch, it's daunting. So things could get worse before they get better.
Well, yeah, I guess I would and my conclusion would be, if I had to point to one thing, and we'll see if you agree with this, it's that Penny's unwillingness or inability to establish a rotation and a pecking order has led to the confusion, backbiting, sniping, and all of that that would have been a challenge anyway, but was exacerbated by those factors. So I would trace it fundamentally back to his unwillingness or inability to establish a pecking order or any kind of solid rotation.
I would agree 100%. And in that piece with Imani, I said one way that he can help Imani is to establish a role for him and the other guys. If you want Imani to be the alpha, then you have to set that. If you want Imani to step to the side and let somebody else do it, you have to communicate that. I don't know who the Tigers, I guess, number one option is right now. And normally, if you have balanced scoring like that, it would be a good thing, but based on what he said the last week or so, it doesn't seem like everybody's happy with that. And with the rotation, you know, by the first media timeout, they've already played nine guys. You know, there hasn't been a point this season yet where we've seen the starters, even they start clicking off the jump. Because, you know, against Ole Miss, they were 4-6 to start the game off. They were getting wide open looks. Media timeout comes in. He almost does a platoon swap. And then it seems like it's hard for the team to get into the rhythm. So, and also with the lineups, some of his combinations have just been kind of strange sometimes, whether he's only had one shooter out there or he's playing three bigs. So I would agree, like, both those problems have persisted. And until he can finally set his eyes on who's the number one, number two, number three guy, and who's going to be his eight-man rotation, it might be a struggle for the Tigers to bounce back.
After the game Saturday, I asked Penny if he thought any of the veterans would leave. And just from the tenor of it, I guess I kind of thought some would. It seemed so dramatic, and The way Penny was throwing him under the bus in three straight interviews, I guess I would have predicted that come the end of this semester, heading into next semester, at least one player would leave. I would have if you'd set the over under for me about heading into next semester, 0.5 players going to leave, over or under, I would have taken the over. It obviously seemed a lot calmer last night. Penny had softened his criticism and all of that. Do you have any sense of whether there is in fact going to be any departures from this program?
I'm not sure there'll be departures, but I know there has been some unhappiness behind the scenes, whether it be about guys wanting to take the last shot against Georgia or just the overall performance against Ole Miss. Maybe something happened over the weekend, and they also did have this kind of a week off kind of break. So maybe it'll be the opportunity Penny needs to kind of smooth things out. But I do know behind the scenes what Penny spoke about, guys being unhappy, some of those reals, that's real, just from the people I've talked to. So now it's this little break they have before Murray State. Is that enough time for Penny to appease who he needs to appease? Or, you know, maybe at the very least, maybe it wouldn't be the worst in the world if the Tigers had a departure, because that's one less player that Penny might feel obligated to play. So I'm not sure there'll be a departure, but right now the mood of the team, I will probably take your bet. I'll put it like that. I will probably bet the over on 0.5. But we'll see. You know, if you win against Murray State, you know, the Tigers are pretty good at home. If they upset Alabama, then the quickest way to kind of defuse all this stuff is winning games. So maybe players want to give it one more chance before they start exploring their options before we get to the end of the month.
Talking to Stephen Johnson, Stephen M. Johnson _ on Twitter. Finally, Stephen, you came back, covered Memphis football for a year. Now Memphis Tiger basketball, obviously grew up here. That job, Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer, is a long and storied tradition in this city. And as a program that people care deeply about, you write about and are a representative in a sense of, you know, whatever, a conduit to that. What has it been like being the Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer?
Well, I can always say, regardless how the season has gone, it's been an honor. You know, like I said, my first memories as kind of a sports fan was watching Darius Washington, Rodney Carney. Chris Douglas Roberts was my favorite player growing up, football, basketball, all around. So for me personally, it's kind of one of those jobs. I think when we all get into this business, we all have a couple of quote-unquote dream jobs that we want, beats that we want. And this was the one I wanted. So it's been entertaining. There's always something, even in the off season when it's just recruiting, no games going on. And it's also, I think, helped me grow a lot just as a journalist and even as a person. So, you know, I've been enjoying it, you know. I've been enjoying it a lot. I know my families and my friends have been, no, not to the Tigers football beat, but it's just, this is just a different animal and it requires a lot more out of you. So it's been a great challenge. And like I said, I've just been honored that the Daily Memphian gave me the opportunity to kind of cover the team that kind of helped me fall in love with sports growing up.
You can read his stuff at the Daily Memphian on Twitter at Stephen M. Johnson _. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.